This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Nation's Podcast. My name is Solomon Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. First week of training camp in the books, and we got a five-man podcast going. We got Taylor Pate, Alikhan Bijani, Paul Derrick, Matthew Cardonas. Five-man podcast. How are you guys doing, man?
Good.
Doing well.
Doing great.
So the first real move of training camp was shifting Harden to the point guard. That's the first real thing that happened. Mike D'Antoni came in. He shifted, you know, James Harden from shooting guard to point guard. And, you know, this caused a real ruckus on Twitter as far as what really is going to change now. And my biggest thing is everything changes. It's a real subtle move. And I know Harden was doing the majority of the playmaking in the beginning, but now the ball starts off in his hands. You know, everything's quicker. Like, you don't have to give Harden the ball. He doesn't have to wrestle with guys for positioning anymore. He has the ball from the start of the play. And that really makes everything much, much quicker because, you know, the 7 seconds or less offense. Paul, you watched it earlier this summer. Steve Nash had the ball from the beginning of the possession, and it literally is, like, there's a reason it's called a 7 seconds or less offense. Everything, all the action's pretty much completed within 10 seconds, like 10 to 12 seconds. Everything's really, really quick, and that starts with the ball, the primary playmaker having the ball in his hands. So what do you guys say about that, Paul?
I was on Ben DuBose's podcast a few days ago, and something that I said was it's not necessarily going to change how much Harden has the ball, but it is going to change when and where he has the ball. So it's because Harden is going to be able to get the ball in the backcourt, he's going to deal with a lot less wrestling, and he's not going to be denied because he's going to have the ball initially, and he can dictate when the offense starts, and he can also, because he is so skilled, dictate where he's going to be on the court. When you're off the ball and being denied, you're relying on other players' skill to get you the ball, if that makes sense. So now that he's actually bringing up the ball, it's going to make for a real plus. And something that I am very encouraged by is just the fact that D'Antoni just walked into training camp the first day, spotted an inefficiency, and nipped it in the bud just like that. It's a genuine sign for optimism.
What I noticed, I think it was you, Paul, who tweeted it. It said, I finally understand that there's a real difference between someone who brings the ball up, who just brings the ball up, and the point guard. And that's really how it is now. I mean, yeah, Harden did bring up the ball a lot last year, but it wasn't exactly the point guard. And now this year, he's legitimately starting point guard for the season. And I think, like Paulie, like what you said, it's going to make the offense roll a lot smoother because Harden won't have to deal with being denied constantly with Beverly bringing the ball up. And what I'm a little interested to see is how things are going to work on the defensive end, because now with Harden at the point guard, Beverly moves to the shooting guard. So I'm interested to see if on the defensive end, if Beverly is going to stay guarding shooting guards, or if maybe Harden and Beverly will decide to just switch back to their natural positions on the defensive end and just guard that. But it'd be interesting to see Harden guard point guards, because we obviously know that everybody gets on Harden for his defense. And I think it would say a lot about Harden, because we actually know, people who consistently watch Rockets basketball know that James Harden can defend well. It's, if anything, it's more of the off-ball issues than actually on-ball. So I think if he played on-ball on all of our great point guards in the NBA, I think he would do just fine. It'll be really interesting to see how things work on the defensive end.
Yeah, and something that that I don't know is one of the more one of the smaller aspects, I guess, is that the wear and tear that Harden would take over several games playing, you know, the most minutes in the league or the top 3 minutes in the league, and getting denied the ball and having to wrestle and fight with it. Nobody on the team could get him the ball consistently if he didn't bring it up himself. And doing this, you know, he'll be able to go straight into the offense. And what's crazy about the 7 seconds or less offense is it starts before the ball is inbounded. So as soon as that ball hits the ground from a made shot, it's right back in. And it's the offense is immediately started. That's when your 7 seconds starts. So that's going to be something that's extremely interesting to see the Rockets basically hurry up that offense and get those defenses on their heels. And with Harden initiating that and not spending so much energy trying to get the ball in the first place, I think you're going to see a much more refreshed James Harden, not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. That was something that I actually had a conversation about. I forget where. It's someone brought up the idea of bringing the ball up being tiring. And then I said that it's actually, if anything, bringing the ball up will be easier on him because he won't have to like lean on these 250 pounders guarding him. He's just going to be able to get it from the get-go and not work as hard. So I think you're right about that. It's definitely going to put maybe a mile or two off of his body by the end of the season.
There were visible games last year where you could tell that Harden was exhausted, and his shot. The one thing about Harden is when he is tired, his shot goes. His legs go out from under him, and he's flat on his threes, and he doesn't seem like he has that juice to make those extra shots.
Yeah, and I think something that Matt pointed out earlier about guarding point guards, that's something I toyed with, but I really think there's going to be a lot of cross-matching as far as on the defensive end. I still think James Harden's probably going to still guard two guards, because I just don't think he's mobile enough to guard point guards in the NBA. I don't know. Maybe that could change. There is this idea of giving somebody with an inefficiency, such as Harden, you know, with his defense, you know, overloading him and making him making that a point of emphasis, and perhaps eliminating the weakness. You know, I've read that idea before. Now, I'm not sure if he's going to do it. I would venture there's going to be a lot more cross matching. But I agree with you guys. I think Harden's just going to be a lot more fresh because. Man, he had to wrestle with a lot of guys. It wasn't just his man that was leaning on him. There was also the help defender trying to deny that basketball. And I think what I'm really interested to see is right now is how does Patrick Beverley's role change on offense? Because him bringing the ball up now, he's off the ball. He's clearly going to be doing a lot more stuff off the ball. I'm interested to see if he's going to run off screens more. I'm interested to see if he's going to set more screens and kind of how active he's going to be off the ball, because I think Patrick Beverley, like, his greatest strength is his catch-and-shoot ability. On the offensive end, he's in his 40s, and making that a point of emphasis and making sure he gets, corner threes or whatnot, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the offense reacts to that.
I think one big thing that we've kind of seen over the past few years since Harden and Beverley have been in Houston is those two have become really close off the court, and it's really started to get noted a little more out in the media how much Harden and Beverley look out for each other. And you hear about it all the time. You always hear Beverley defending Harden for every little thing, Harden, for every little mistake that the media points out that Harden does. I remember a few months ago, they asked Beverley, what are your expectations for Harden? And he said, Harden's the leader of the team. Harden is going to lead us. The team is going to go as far as Harden takes us. He can easily win the MVP. And his role will be a little different. His shooting, it's there. It's sometimes on, it's sometimes off. But like you said, Salman, I think it'll be really interesting to see how he's going to adjust to life running around the court more, because he's going to be off the ball more. And It could work. It will probably work because Harden and Beverly have actually had really good chemistry on the court together. So maybe in the first few games, it'll be a little weird for them to get things together. But I think once they get maybe 10, 15 games into the season, everything should be fine.
I think another underrated aspect of Harden bringing up the ball is when he was fighting those defenders, you know, to shake them off to get the ball, his entire body is up against one or two other defenders, and so he's kind of got a limited view of the court. And when he's got that ball immediately from the get-go, he's got an immediate view of the court. He can see everything right then and there. And so I think you're going to see a lot more quick passing and passing, from the backcourt into the frontcourt very quickly from Harden.
You know, this position change, if you can call it, is basically because James Harden is the best decision maker on the floor. And if you're going to make him play that Steve Nash role, you want him to be that best decision maker. So whenever he's bringing the ball up, he's going to see, okay, if I start to pick and roll from the left side and I go left, this is what's going to happen. I see a defender coming, or I see this happening. That's what makes him the best choice, and that's what makes it the best move for the Rockets offensively, because now you have James Harden making the decisions, your best passer on the floor, your best shooter on the floor, and your best finisher on the floor. All those three things starting the offense is exactly what the Rockets want.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point there. When Harden's bringing the ball up, he's going to be able to see the entirety of the floor, as opposed to when he's already up to half court and he can't see as much, and he can see a lot of the offense develop, because of course we know in Mike D'Antoni's system the offense starts as soon as the ball is passed in, and that there's always stuff going on, and so Harden can see that while he's bringing the ball up and make that decision right away. And another thing that came up at training camp was who starts at center, because Mike D'Antoni kind of teased it a little bit, like he toyed with the idea of starting Nene. And I'm totally against that, because I think if Clint Capela is your guy, and the Rockets clearly view him as your guy, Daryl Morey mentioned it in the Media Day press conference that the Rockets, in order to make a big leap this year and become like a 50-win team and a possible home court advantage team, Clint Capela is going to be a big factor in that. I completely agree with that. I think if you're going to make him your guy, send a message. Make him the starter. Give him 30 to 32 minutes a night. I think he's ready for it. You know, he's paid his dues. Dwight's gone now. Make it clear to him that he's going to be your guy. I know Nene is a fantastic passer, and that really gels well in the system. But the idea of giving reps to, you know, him right away, it bothers me. Because I think frankly, Clint Capela is a better player already at this stage of his career than Nene. And with Nene, you already have a ceiling. You already know how good Nene is. We don't know how good Capela can be. Calvin Watkins tweeted the depth chart for the Rockets, and it said Clint Capela was starting at center. So that kind of put me at ease a little bit. What about you guys?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. What I noticed with Capela is he's really seemed to mature as a player over the past few years. I've noticed Capela has really bulked up really well in only about 2.5 years. He's really worked up well. I remember they showed a picture of him his rookie year. He was kind of skinny, wasn't too big, and now he's super muscular, and he looks
ready. He's gained 30 pounds over the course of his tenure with the Rockets.
It's crazy. It's just crazy to show, like, his work ethic, and that's really good for somebody who's so young to have a work ethic that great, because it just shows how dedicated he is. And Salman, you really been on Clint for possibly being the most improved player this year, and I don't see, now that I think about it, he really could win that award, because now that Dwight's gone, like you mentioned, it really kind of opened the floodgates for Capella's potential, because if Howard was going to stay in Houston, Capela was still going to be the backup for however many more years Dwight was going to stay here, but now Dwight's gone, and I think it would have been, it's better that Capela's in there, because Capela's obviously a lot younger than Nene, and he's more athletic, and I think it makes it easier for the offense, because especially in this offense with Mike D'Antoni, because it's basically run and gun. So I think with Capela, you can run a lot more, and it'll just make life a lot easier.
So yeah. I kind of think that for me, it's a really simple answer, because I think that having Clint Capela play on the bench would minimize his talents. So I think if he's playing with Harden, he's playing with the best playmaker on the team, and that's going to be the best thing for him. Now, like, we know that Nene can generate some offense through himself and things like that, but Clint Capela is not getting post touches, at least not that I'm aware of anytime soon. And having Harden paired with Capela, there's already chemistry, and they seem like they have just a good relationship already with each other. And I think that putting Clint Capela with the bench unit would diminish what he's capable of doing.
Yeah, and something else to think about. I've made my belief in Clint Capela's talents known on Twitter, but just something else to think about. Having Nene start, you just commit a certain amount of minutes to Nene, who has, throughout the entirety of his career, been incredibly injury prone. And if you're going to commit that many minutes to Nene, that's just asking for trouble. So on top of the fact that Clint, I think, is just the better player right now, who also happens to have the better ceiling, he also just is more equipped to play big minutes than Nene, because just Nene is never healthy. And that's a big deal to me. That's a legitimate distinction.
I think what you need to look at, and what D'Antoni has talked about at training camp, is, yeah, I understand the whole point of Nene, you know, having injuries, especially last season. But I think what you need to look at as well is rotations. So D'Antoni likes to employ an 8-to-9-man rotation. He was asked about it too. He says, you know what, my bench guys are going to play starter minutes. It's his job to make sure Eric Gordon and those guys who come off the bench do play starter minutes. So it's not like Clint Capela is going to play 35, 40 minutes a night. I mean, it'll be optimal if he's playing well, but at the same time, Coach D'Antoni himself will also make time for guys like Nene, guys like Eric Gordon, and whoever's eighth man to come off the bench and complete that rotation. So I wouldn't go too much into starting, even though I still believe Clint should start and set the tone defensively and anchor defensively. But just overall, I still think that Nene will see plenty of action on the floor.
So here's my whole dilemma on this. I don't have a problem with Nene at all. And he's a fine center. Like, as of this moment, if Nene starts, he's about like an average to below average center. So he can be fine, right? Like, you have a ceiling with him already. Like, he's a decent rim protector. He can switch a little bit, not as much as he was in his younger years, but you have a ceiling with Nene. With Clint Capela, we have no idea how good this team could be with Clint Capela at the helm. You know, it's that whole idea of upside. And you want your team to be as good as possible. And I think you brought up a good point earlier, Taylor, when you were talking about that developed chemistry that's already there with Harden and Capela, because I think everybody's noticed it, man. Like, these guys are dynamite in the pick and roll. They have a good feel for each other already. Clint Capela is a willing screen setter. He knows when to roll, and unlike Dwight, like, he's willing to do the little things that'll make him a great center right now. And I just think it's best to send the message to Capela at the start. This is your team. You know, let's roll with it. So another topic brought up at training camp this week was that the Rockets are going to try to lower James Harden's minute load. And I'm glad that they're finally thinking about doing this, because James Harden's been absolutely laboring these past few seasons. Last year, he averaged like 36 minutes a game, and that led the league in minutes. And he was just absolutely killing his body. I mean, towards the end of the season, he was averaging close to 40 minutes a game because JB Bickerstaff leaned on him so hard because there was no other playmaking on the team. There's no other shot creation, and that's been a theme for the Rockets these past few years. And with the addition of Eric Gordon, I'm glad that the Rockets are finally making an effort at, you know, stepping off the gas. And I'm glad that Daryl Morey finally made it concrete in saying this. And, you know, it's going to lead to more efficient production for James Harden in the future. I think his shooting totals are going to go up. I think the Rockets can overall be better coming out of this.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sure that the Rockets were aware that Harden couldn't continue to play the number of minutes that he played last year.
I don't think they went in saying, okay, Harden is going to play 38 minutes and like finish the second half of almost every game after the All-Star break. I don't think that they thought that that was ideal. But that's just part of what happens with coaches when their backs are against the wall and try to win. And D'Antoni actually played. There are questions about whose fault it was, but D'Antoni played Kobe a lot of minutes when the year that Bryant tore his Achilles. And that's somewhat of a concern for me. Obviously, Harden is a lot younger. I think he's more willing to play the minutes than you think he does, basically. There were moments where I saw him just straight up walking to JBB and asking to come in. If my sight serves me correct, because I did see that a couple times last season. And, you know, I really hope that he doesn't play the number of minutes that he did last year. I don't think he will, just because I think the team itself will be better and there will be more blowouts. But I'll believe it when I see it, like I said.
I'm kind of the same with Paul. It's more of a I'll believe it when I see it, because the thing with Harden was he had to play those minutes last year. And, I mean, it has been, everyone knows it's been an issue that Harden plays 36 to 39 minutes every single game. And, you know, it's okay. I guess people say it's okay right now because of how young he is. But if you really think about it, you have to think about the long term as well. And eventually those minutes are going to catch up to you later on in your career. And I think it'd be nice to maybe see Harden go. He's probably at about 38 minutes a game right now. I think it'd be nice to see it maybe go 33, 32. I think it might be like 34. But I think, especially with the addition of Eric Gordon, because Eric Gordon is a playmaker, and what Houston has lacked is another playmaker. And I think with another playmaker, it takes a little Harden, and Eric Gordon can stay in for an extended period of time and let Harden rest a little more, which makes Harden fresher and crunch time and as the season goes forward.
I think it also depends on the system. I mean, we haven't really seen any game action yet. I think tomorrow will be our first eye test in terms of how this team will play in an organized manner in terms of, hey, okay, James starting, who comes off the bench. I want to see the young guards. I want to see the new addition from Milwaukee. You know, he's a great pick-and-roll player. He was touted like that in college. He played well in Milwaukee. You know, they just had a long chain of players there at that position, and he didn't see a lot of time. But now with the Rockets, he has an opportunity to actually beat out Pablo Prigioni for that backup spot. Can he do that? You know, so I think it's interesting to see which guard steps, looks the part in terms of playing with the second unit, and can they, playing in this game system, do well enough to help, you know, make sure that Harden isn't playing second unit and spelling that time with them. And that, I think if we can see the second unit play well without Harden, and Harden not have to spell so much time with that second unit, then we'll see those decreases in 34, 33 minutes. But until then, like, I agree with Paul, and, you know, I agree with you guys. Just overall, we have to wait and see.
My whole idea on this is it's like, I agreed with Matt, like, this stuff is dangerous, man. You can't be playing guys as much as the Rockets have been playing Harden. Like, we've seen it with Jimmy Butler. We've seen it with other guys that play with Tom Thibodeau, like Luol Deng. Heavy minutes, if it doesn't catch up with you now, it's going to catch up with you later in your career. And, you know, Harden's a young guy, as you guys have all pointed out, and he can handle it right now. But it's going to add up. It's going to add up at some point. And we've been fortunate enough to have a healthy Harden. You know, for the most part, Harden plays 80-plus games a year. And so, you know, we never really have to worry about injuries with him. But the whole point in having Harden lower his minute load is to prevent it in the future. And I think, you know, we've seen it with guys like Tim Duncan, guys like Dirk Nowitzki. You know, you have Harden signed to an extension. I mean, and you have to start worrying about this stuff now. Like, because you have him signed up to his early 30s. And I think his contract expires at age 30. This is when you start to, this is when you really start to think about this kind of stuff and how it impacts the team's future going forward.
Yeah, so looking at just spitballing here, looking at Steve Nash's minutes under D'Antoni, 34, 35, 35, 34, and 33. And that's a guy with a degenerative back condition. So it does worry me a little bit. But that said, I do think that this team will be better than last year's team. I think a lot of Harden's minutes were out of necessity. And also, I think that some of that had to do with the chemistry. And I really think that there was just a big lack of any type of camaraderie between the team. I don't want to say that, Harden or Dwight didn't want the other to do well, but I think that Harden would rather have just been clear that it was his team, playing the full second half of games and things like that. I am slightly concerned for his minute load. Matt Moore from CBS earlier was talking about Harden and Gordon playing together. And I do think that some of their minutes will be staggered so that there is a break there. But, if Harden and Gordon are going to be playing together, that's more minutes with Harden on the court that, Gordon's not taking his spot. So it's going to be really interesting to see over the next couple of weeks full of games to see where we're at with our rotations.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I'm just looking at some numbers now. Harden averaged 40 minutes per game post All-Star break last year.
My God.
And there was a stretch, and let me read this. This was like a 10-game stretch or something like that, where it was 41, 43, 43, 43, 42, 42, 44, 43, 41, 41, 40. That cannot happen next year, this year. That cannot happen.
Yeah, and I remember that stretch because it was when the Rockets were trying to get into the playoffs, and that big playoff push they made towards the end of the season, the guys got together and they made an effort to try to make the playoffs, and I was legitimately concerned for Harden's safety at that point. Like, it really, I'll be frank, it pissed me off. Like, when Bickerstaff was playing Harden this much, like, to be a head coach in the NBA, you have to recognize guys' limits. Like, I mean, sure, you're trying to make the playoffs, but is it really worth it in the grand scheme of things if you're jeopardizing this guy's health? And, like, I'm just hoping that's something that doesn't happen under this new regime with Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bezdelic. I'm hoping they don't lean on Harden this much. But having Daryl come out and say we're probably going to lower his minute load, it made me feel a little bit more assured that, hey, we got Air Gordon, we have other playmakers now, Harden can rest a little bit. It made me feel a little bit better about things. So another story that came out really early in the week, was Las Vegas came out with their over-unders, and the Rockets are slated at 41.5 games. I just think that's really low, because under James Harden, the lowest amount of games he's ever won was 41 games. And I think to say that the Rockets are going to be as bad as last season, I'm really in on that over. Like, I would bang the over on that. Like, 41.5 games, I think they're going to win at least 45 to 50 games. What about you guys?
I also agree with you. I don't know what it is. I just think everybody has very bad opinions about the Rockets because of James Harden. I think a lot of people are just out to get James Harden. A lot of people in the media aren't the biggest fans of him. And I think the crazy thing about that over-under is Houston still managed to make the playoffs and finish 500, and it was a disastrous year. They still found a way to get done what they wanted to get done, even though it was a very disappointing season. They still got it done. And it's almost impossible to say that last year's team is better than this year's team. This team is a lot. I think this team is much better than last year's team, mainly because this year everybody seems on board together. Everybody seems happier. You've seen the videos that the Rockets have been releasing from training camp. Everybody's a little more loose. Harden's being really vocal in training camp. And I see the Rockets winning maybe 47 to 48 wins this year, and that's a great number. That's a really good number for them to have this year. And I think as long as Harden is there, there's no way that we're going to finish under 500. And Vegas isn't even the only one who's picking us to only win 41 games, because ESPN, actually, I don't even know if ESPN has Houston making the playoffs right now, because I just think a lot of people are out to have a bad vibe with Harden. But I think they'll do much better than 41 wins. I see them in 47 to 48 wins.
Yeah, and ESPN's RPM projections has them at 45.5 wins. So, I mean, that's a computer generating it, and it tells you that the Rockets are going to be much better than expected. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys, what do you guys feel about that over-under? And if you were to give the Rockets a win total, what would you give them?
I'd go over. I'm pretty sure about the over. I'm pretty confident in the Rockets going over this season. I would put them at 48-ish wins this year, I think is a fair number to say. But something to keep in mind was the Rockets and their really low over-under last year relative to the outside world's expectations. Everybody was saying, oh, wow, this is a really low over-under. I think it was like low 50s or something like that. And everybody was surprised by it. And then, you know, you guys know what happened.
Yeah.
Vegas ended up being right. So I don't know. I think it's important to keep in mind that Vegas was actually right last year, but keeping that in mind, I would still go over
easily. I think that when you kind of look back at last season, there were points where Rockets Twitter was literally pulling hair out because of how bad this team was. And they managed, you know, James Harden managed to drag them to 41 wins, which is an accomplishment. And I think that this year, contingent on health, so if Gordon, Anderson, Nene can stay healthy, I think that the Rockets can win 50 games. And again, that's completely contingent on their health. But I think that they could potentially have a top three offense, if not the number one offense, if everybody's healthy. There's really, you know, not a weak spot on the offense anymore. Even Pat Beverly's game has stepped up on the offensive side. So, you know, typically, historically, with a top five offense, that means at least like, you know, 45 or 47 wins. And I think that there are enough pieces around this team that they can, you know, edge out an extra three wins or so. So I'm going to say that the Rockets, contingent on health, can win 50 games.
What about you, Leacon?
Yeah, you know, I think Paul's number 48 is more likely. I mean, I'm a person who has to see first. You know, we haven't played a game yet. I mean, if we're looking at this just based off of an off-season perspective, yeah, I think they can win 48 and they're going to make the playoffs. But also, I need to see the preseason. I need to see how this team plays. I need to see what they're running offensively, what they're doing defensively. I need to see the last two games of their preseason, their dress rehearsals. I want to see all that before I can give you a concrete prediction. But I do think 48 games is a very likely possibility. You know, speaking on to all the other points, last season was, you know, it wasn't fun. I remember I was in a locker room after the Atlanta game, and they had lost. They came back from behind. They regained the lead, and then they lost in the final few minutes of the game.
Was this the one where Al Horford hit like 8 threes?
Yeah, Al Horford, like, yeah. Dwight just wouldn't contest him. Dwight just did not come out to the perimeter. And I know there was a moment when Harden threw a lob to Howard for the slam, but that was probably the only highlight of the night in terms of their camaraderie. In the locker room, but back to the locker room. In the locker room, I remember it was when the media came in, Harden was getting dressed and the players were there too. And Harden was the first one to speak to the media. He spoke and he left. And everybody else, the players were still there. Dwight was getting ready. I mean, you know, that stood out to me. I mean, as much as I know it shouldn't, it stood out to me that letting me know, hey, this season doesn't feel right. And this year when you go to training camp, when you see these guys having fun, getting along, when you see these players standing up for each other, they have so in the past, but even more so this year, you see these guys getting together in the offseason. I remember I talked to somebody who was there in Miami, and they said that that sex that they had with the team was so successful. Everybody was, you know, getting along, and they were just, you know, meshing really well. And this sticks out to me. This chemistry that they're making, this sticks out to me. And so if it works out the way I feel like it'll work out, I think Rockets over by a lot. And I think if the preseason, if they play to the system and they work those kinks out that they will have, I think, you know, 48 wins could add a few more games onto that. So I think this season Rockets fans should look at this in a very optimistic tone.
Yeah, and to your point, Taylor, like that stat you were talking about, in the past 10 years, every team that's had a top five offense has won 50 games, except for one team, and I believe that's the 2010 New York Knicks. History is certainly on their side, but that they have to get that top five offense first, and we're all just expecting it. And you know, preseason could come, and the Rockets could be absolutely terrible on offense. You're right. Yeah. We don't know. We have no idea. We're just assuming they're going to have a top five offense.
Yeah, I don't know who said this, but I remember, you know, seeing it. It's like, you know, why would you drive a Ferrari, like in this case, James Harden, why would you drive a Ferrari with the tow truck driver when you can drive a Ferrari with the race car driver, right? And so the race car driver, obviously being the offensive-minded coach, you have a guy, let's optimize James Harden. Let's make him to a level where we know he can go to, and then we'll worry about the defense. But if you bring in a guy and you work in a system where it's honing on skills that your best offensive player isn't the best at, that's not going to work. You bring in a guy who can optimize that skill set, who can revolve the team around your best player, the system around your best player, all that, you have a chance to, you know, break all these expectations you have, and then some. So I think all you guys can agree with me on that. I think that we should take the Rockets over, and that, I mean, you have to wait and see, but right now I think it's looking very optimistic.
Good vibes coming out of training camp. It seems like everybody's getting along with each other, and Daryl Morey is going crazy on Instagram, posting all their player movement and ball movement sets. And overall, a pretty successful week of training camp. Everybody's healthy. Everybody got their workouts in. And it seems like we're in for an entertaining season. We're in for an enjoyable to watch season, which you couldn't say about last season, certainly. And that's all I want from this team. I want this team to be enjoyable to watch every day. Because last season, it was absolutely, you know, a train wreck. They would go on these stints where you think they're putting it together, and then they'd completely collapse. They'd go on like a 3-game losing streak. And so I think they're going to rebound from last season. I would take that over. I have them around 45 to 50 wins, somewhere in between there. And yeah, subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Give us a good rating on iTunes. Give us a good rating on iTunes if you enjoyed the podcast. If you didn't enjoy the podcast, give us a good rating anyways, because that's just the right thing to do. All right, good night, guys.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.